Alaska gets startled by some information out about the Fukushima nuclear radiation headed this way. And two Haines veterans will be honored by Congress in Washington later this month. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. It was less than 200 words, but the short article on the CBC North website this week is getting a lot of attention across the state and country. The article is titled, Radiation from Japan Nuclear Plant Arrives on Alaska Coast. And the subhead reads, Scientists Concerned About Lack of Monitoring Plan. The article quotes two University of Alaska Fairbanks researchers who say some radiation has already arrived in northern Alaska and along the west coast, raising concerns about contamination of fish and wildlife. The article goes on to say more contamination may be heading toward coastal communities like Haines and Skagway. One of the researchers, Douglas Dasher, is quoted as saying radiation levels in Alaska waters could reach Cold War levels. And that was certainly news to Alaskans, media outlets, and even congressional staffers in Washington who began contacting the university on Wednesday to find out more. Upon further discussion with Dasher, the situation isn't quite that dire, at least yet. Dasher said radiation was detected in the air near Alaska immediately following the Japan earthquake in 2011, but no ongoing radiation has been discovered along Alaska's shoreline or water. There were some studies that suggested radiation from the Fukushima nuclear plant may have been found in some fish near Adak.
You know, so one thing is, yeah, it did arrive back in 2011. It did move into the environments. It did move into lakes. If it came down in snow around a lake, but we don't have actual data for the marine-derived component. We just have the models. So marine-transported radionuclides are being shown to potentially be arriving on the West Coast and in the Alaska area. Some came from the early fallout and moved in the marine environment, so may have already gotten here, but we don't have marine data, actual data, to show that.
He also says modeling has estimated when more pollution may reach Alaska, but at this time, those do not suggest levels could reach Cold War levels, although they could. And Dasher said that's the problem. There's no consistent program or plan for monitoring the possible pollution from Fukushima as it travels east across the Pacific Ocean.
Who knows? But the information's not out there to indicate concretely, are the levels even going to get high for that? But concrete information, that's what we're lacking.
We'll have much more about this story on our Thursday evening newscast. A ceremony in Washington, D.C. later this month will honor Native American Code Talkers, five of whom were Tlingit Code Talkers from Southeast. Speaker of the House John Boehner's office announced Monday the Congressional Gold Medal will be presented to Native American Code Talkers or their families during a ceremony November 20th in Emancipation Hall at the Capitol. The Gold Medal is Congress's highest award of appreciation for distinguished achievements and contributions. The press release from Boehner's office did not have any more specifics on how many Code Talkers will receive recognition, but Senator Mark Begich's office said they were notified by the speaker's staff that five men from Southeast were being included in the honor. Two of those men, Robert Jeff David and George Lewis, were from Haines. Two other recipients are from Sitka, and the fifth is from Hoona. All five men are now deceased. But Jim Moran with the American Legion in Haines said he was the first to notify the families of the honor planned for them. Also in the loop on the event is former state representative and veteran Bill Thomas. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute has asked Thomas if he would be available to attend the ceremony in Washington if the families are not. Thomas said Wednesday he isn't sure if he will attend, but he is trying to find assistance to help members of the David and Lewis families travel to Washington for the ceremony. The local Legion is also thinking of holding a local ceremony on the same day as the one in Washington. Details of that event have not yet been finalized. Alaska Public Radio is planning to cover the event in Washington on November 20th. During World War I and II, Native American soldiers assigned as code talkers used Native languages to transmit coded messages between Allied forces that could not be cracked by enemy forces. The Congressional Gold Medal has been around since the American Revolution, and George Washington was the first recipient. Other recipients over the years include dozens of generals, captains, astronauts, and other military leaders, the Wright brothers, Charles Lindbergh, Thomas Edison, Robert Frost, Winston Churchill, the American Red Cross, and Rosa Parks. Veterans like the Navajo Code Talkers and Tuskegee Airmen have also received the honor, and another group of Native American Code Talkers received recognition in 2008. Congress commissioned special gold coins from the U.S. Mint to present at the ceremonies. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday. The group will take up a handful of ordinances and resolutions. One would authorize the disposal of a small piece of Tai Inlet subdivision to the state for improvements to Dai Road. Another would set the priority list for capital projects, and another would request commercial passenger vessel excise tax funding for some of those capital projects. Under new business, the Assembly will discuss a letter to the state about the ownership of the ferry float in Skagway, among other items. And an executive session is scheduled for three items: the diocese land sale and lease negotiations with Ada and White Pass. For a complete meeting packet, go online at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. The Alaska Department of Transportation is temporarily lowering the speed limit on the Haines Highway for the upcoming annual Alaska Bald Eagle Festival. The state is expecting to post the reduced speed signs on Friday between milepost 17.9 to the Kluckwan Road intersection. Whenever the signs are posted, the state troopers will enforce the reduced speed, which will be 45 miles per hour, down from the usual 55 miles per hour. This is the first year the state has reduced the speed in parts of the Alaska Bald Eagle Preserve during the annual festival. State troopers said festival organizers requested the speed reduction to make it safer for the increased number of motorists and pedestrians in the area for eagle viewing during the festival. The speed reduction is expected to be in place through the last day of the festival on November 17th. Traditional Tlingit culture is filled with spiritual presence and powers that exist within and beyond direct experience. That's according to University of Alaska Anchorage anthropology professor Steve Langdon. He spoke this week about Tlingit spiritual connections and obligations. It's the first of five Native spirituality programs sponsored by the Juneau-based Sea Alaska Heritage Institute as part of Native American Heritage Month. Here, he uses a traditional salmon story to illustrate different dimensions of the beliefs.
This story is a story in which a young human being begins by disrespecting and throwing down a piece of dried fish. This is an absolute abomination or a sin in the context of other discussions. He then heads out of the house as his mother expresses her dismay, falls into the water, and would have drowned except that he was saved by the salmon people. The head of the salmon people saw him and took the boy down to the home of the salmon people, which he discovered was deep off the shores of the water. And there he saw the salmon people as people like himself, without their skins. And he spent a year there, and he learned, this is very important, he learned from the head of the salmon people. Salmon people taught him, and that's the important principle. One of the principles is, this is how you gain knowledge, is by attending to all of these other spiritual forms that are in your midst. And then he was required to come home. It's time to return to the stream, the head of the salmon people said, and so they got into their canoes. And as they headed back, as they approached the stream where his mother and father were, he was told to stand up to see where they are. But because he was in a canoe, when he stood up, he jumped out of the water. He jumped out of the water in front of the stream where his parents were. And then he gave himself to his father, showed himself and gave himself to his father. And his father took the fish and gave it to his mother. And she opened his slits and discovered the copper necklace that had been on him at the time in which he went out and was drowned. They then knew something was quite different. They asked the shaman, what should we do? The boy was put up. The shaman said, put him up overnight. He transformed, became the young boy again, and began the process of teaching the people what he knew, and from then on became a very powerful shaman himself. So this story demonstrates some of those key principles. Core principles about cosmological cycling, the return of the spirit. Non-human entities has an essential spirit of person that is the same as humans. And that the ahune, or respect, the existence depends upon reciprocal, respectful relations. And that's what the young boy taught. Part of that teaching was the ritual relations, including the return of salmon bones to the water, and these are critical as part of that mythic charter. So Tlingit concepts and practice derived from this mythic charter include the notion of respect, that salmon are to be understood as people, that they are sentient, means they feel. They are capable of sensing as we do. They are attentive. They know how they are treated, and they are have inherent dignity, as all people do, and so they must be treated with respect. They are volitional, meaning that they can make choices, and so they will choose to return to those who respect and carry them with dignity. And they have powers themselves, just like human beings.
That was an excerpt from a lecture on Tlingit spiritual connections and obligations given by University of Alaska Anchorage anthropology professor Steve Langdon. He spoke this week in the first of five programs on Native spirituality, sponsored by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute during Native American Heritage Month. You can hear the entire presentation at ktoo.org. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.